Good morning, brothers, friends, and sisters. As we continue with the sermon series of caring for one another, and last week we heard for caring for the strangers, and today we continue to learn how to care for the needy. Why should we care for the needy? Why? Well, we care for them because we have a God who cares for us and care for them. We have a God who cares to choose us before the creation of the earth. We have a God who saved us from sin. We have a God who destined us to live eternally with Him. We have a God who blessed us with many spiritual blessings. We have a God who sent His Holy Spirit into our hearts to remind us of His Word, of His teaching. We have a God who empowers us so that we can serve Him with strength and truth, and also to live a godly life. We have a God who cares enough to have a relationship with us as the church, as the individual. We have a caring God. And not only that, He wants us to be His mouthpiece to encourage the discouraged, to bring words of comfort to the suffering. He wants us to be His hand to feed the hungry and to quench the thirsty. He wants us to be His feet to bring the good news, the gospel, to the lost. Will you? Will you be the His mouthpiece, His hands, and His feet? Who are the needy in today's passage? Well, very clearly, we have heard it. We have heard the passage. Please open the Bible. We'll refer to it. And also from bulletin, I have also the outline. I will go closely to it. They are the debtors and the poor. That God cares for them. Well, in the context of these 11 verses, in fact, to verse 18, it's a stipulation of the sabbatical year in this passage, which set the context of caring for the needy. It lies in verse 1, that the writer said, at the end of every 7 years, 6 years they work and 1 year of rest. And during that, after that, that they will care for the people. The Israelites are to obey them and help the needy. Well, this book actually was written where the Israelites were about to enter into the promised land. And yet, God knows that the people will face troubles and difficulties in the promised land. So God set these laws for them, for the able to care for the weak, the opposed, the destitute, the widows, the fatherless, and all who are needy. In His sight, everyone, man, woman, child, young and old, rich and poor, is important to Him, for they are created in His image. And God is the compassionate and merciful God. Let's learn from the first point. First point, caring for the debtors, verses 1 to 6. A, why are there debtors? Before we look into how the reasons why the Israelites became debtors, I would like to share with you a short understanding concerning debtors in our society. Quote, by the time he hit rock bottom in 2012, regional product manager Mr. Lee had a debt of $550,000. His problem was gambling. He said, he would often take foreign visitors to the casino here, but eventually developed an interest in gambling himself. Please do not develop this habit. He said, the boredom I had after work eventually led me gambling just for fun. As my bets got bigger and bigger, using the credit cards became very convenient. To pay off his credit card's debt, he took up 3 bank loans, but continued gambling while paying $1,000 a month to cover the minimum sum for the 3 cards he had. He had been on the debt management program for 2 years and continuing paying debts. This is just one of the reasons why people became debtors. There are other reasons like overspending and shopping, etc. However, the reasons in this passage why the Israelites owe debts is not due to irresponsible spending like the Singaporeans, but mostly because of 2 reasons. First reason is poor harvest. You know, when they enter into Canaan, Canaan is a place full of plains and mountains, and they live, the people there rely on agriculture for their living. So as farmer, they depended on good weathers and abundant rainfall to yield good harvest. Many families become debtors once the harvest is poor, and probably due to severe famine. Second reason, sudden death of the husband. Even the family is doing well, when the husband suddenly dies, then the widow is left to take charge of the well-being of the family. Without men to work in the farm, it's very difficult. Under such circumstances, it would be too easy to fall into debt. Subsequently, if the situation gets worse, and plus the severe famine, children could be sold to slavery to pay off the debts. So the widows would have deprived of the husband and children. This situation is not imaginary. For example, the prophet Elisha was sent to the widow and her son, to help them in financial difficulties. In our society, such situation also happen, but instead of bad harvest, if the company is not doing well and eventually close down, and with bad economy, then one might have no job and would resort to borrowing money until he finds one. The sudden death or the serious illnesses of the breadwinner could also lead to debts. Now, when you look at your bulletin, instead of going how to care for the needy, I would like to bring the point C to why should we care for the needy, in particular the debtor, verses 2 to 6. This is a very important question because it shows the basis of caring for the debtors. Without understanding these reasons and applying them, I believe our caring is out of moral obligation and not being grateful to the God who called us to care for the needy. Then, when we are called by God, by obeying God's will, we are not doing it alone. We are doing it with the help of God, with His strength, with His direction, and to follow Him. So it is important to understand this, that without God, we are just doing something that others want to do, a moral obligation. But it is God who called us to do it. And therefore, caring is not out of a rash act, but it's a commitment. It's a lifetime commitment to God. So what is the first reason? Love God's people. As verse 2 and 3 says, this is how it is to be done. Every creditor shall cancel the loan he has made to fellow Israelite. He shall not require payments from his fellow Israelite or brother, because the Lord's time for canceling debts has been proclaimed. You may require payment from a foreigner, but you must cancel any debt your brother owes you. The word brother indicates clearly that the creditors and the debtors are related. Of course, probably they are not brothers, sisters in the same family, but we know that the Israelites are descendants of Abraham. They, in a way, are brothers and sisters. But it's not only that. It is based on the covenantal relationship that God had called Abraham in Genesis 12, 1 to 3. That God made a covenant with Abraham and to have become a nation to bless others. Israel is not just a nation made of individuals unrelated to one another, but each one of them belongs to one another as brothers and sisters in the Lord. This very same reason is the reason that we are related. We are related to one another because we are covenanted people. God is our Father because of Christ's covenant with us through His death. We are called to love one another as well as the Israelites. Love your people because we are related. Next, remember God's blessing. Verse 4 clearly tells us that, however, there need to no poor people among you, for in the land the Lord your God is giving you to possess as your inheritance, He will richly bless you. The reason why the creditors have to cancel the debt is because God will bless him richly in this promised land, filled with milk and honey. Not only that, this is God who saved them from slavery in Egypt. God will call them out to be a people for God. Therefore, they must remember. They remember this blessing. If not, they will forever as slaves in Egypt. But they are free people. And God led them to the land that God promised for them, so they become a nation. So as for us, we are blessed, isn't it? We are blessed with the gospel. We have every spiritual blessing. Therefore, God can empower us, because His people. And Paul said, and remind us in 2 Corinthians 9:8, and God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. We know God bless us, but in this competitive society, sometimes we have forgotten. We rush here and there, we chase after whatever before us, we have forgotten. Or we are ungrateful. We want to come to church, but we are not, you know, regard us ourselves, maybe God's people, after we leave here. We live like the world. We must take time, really. Take time to sit before God, could contemplate on Him. Set each day, remind ourselves that we are God's people, we have God's blessing, we have God's guidance, and we ought to behave in godly ways to our neighbors. Third reason, obey God's command. Verses 5 to 6. If only you fully obey the Lord your God and are carefully to follow all these commands I am giving you today, for the Lord your God will bless you as He has promise, and you will lend to many nations, but will borrow from none. You will rule over many nations, but none will rule over you.
Wow.
The reason to obey is not an appeal or a persuasion. It is an order. God ordered us to carry out His command. Why is it so difficult? So difficult for us to obey God's words and instruction. I think maybe we think too much. We think to, you know, to try to figure out God's message. Or it could be that we don't trust what God has, you know, God's words, that God is with us. Or by obeying God's word, there will be hardship. We are unwilling to, you know, go through that. But God has called us. God also will promise to be with you. If God commands us, my friend, even myself, do it and trust in Him. So how do we care for, you know, for the needy, the debtors in particular? First, the Israelites. Huh? The Israelites, very clear stated, the creditors have to cancel the debt. It's very straightforward. Right? Because they are brothers, and they love one another. Furthermore, actually Exodus 22:25 says this, if you lend money to one of my people among you who is needy, do not treat it like a business deal. Charge no interest. Wow, don't pay no interest. But how about us? How do we apply this principle in our midst now? Oh, there's a difference, isn't it? The culture, the timing, you know, there's a lot of difference, right? Furthermore, do we have a sabbatical law? Do we have, you know, this law that we should cancel debtors in the New Testament? I can't find any in the New Testament to tell us that. But clearly, we are different from the Jews. In terms of culture, time, we are Christians. We are not Jews. Therefore, this application will not apply to us. But then, in the New Testament, there are some principles or guidelines to help us how to handle this. Okay? First, Jesus didn't forbid borrowing in Matthew 5:42. Because certain circumstances may arise that we need to borrow. No doubt we have to be debtors. But second, Paul said in Romans 13:8, let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another, for whoever loves others has fulfilled the law. Let me repeat, Romans 13:8, let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another, for whoever loves others has fulfilled the law. How to apply this? I think for all believers, right, should not leave our debt unpaid. If you owe, you have to pay. You pay promptly. There's no doubt about it. But Paul further said that we have a debt that we can never discharge. And it's the debt of love. Because God loved us first. And we are to love others. So, in applying this principle of love for to the caring of the needy or the debtor in per se, if we are creditors, okay, and our brothers or sisters is our debtors, or even non-Christians, okay, if God put in your heart to help our debtors to be free from debt, and if we have the means, we could consider that. We could consider that because of love. The love of God. Or if we want our debtors to pay up the debts, I don't think the Bible also would discourage us then. But then we can don't charge interest as Exodus told us. I mean, Moses told us in Exodus. You know, it must be a relationship, not just like law or business dealing. We can discuss with the debtors to strive the lifestyles not to beyond their salary. Right? And also, we help them to manage, you know, their funds properly. It's a discussion. It's not a law. Then we can, they can be good debtors and we could can be good creditors. Next point. Caring for the poor. We are looking at the how to help the financially poor people. But how about those who are relationship poor and the spiritually poor people? Well, I believe these principles will help us to apply it. How do we care for the poor? There are four advices. First, to not be hard-hearted, or do not harden your heart. Verse 7 says, if anyone is poor among your fellow Israelites in any of the towns of the land the Lord your God is giving you, do not be hard-hearted or tight-fisted towards them. The word harden means to bound fast or make firm. A Christian who is hard-hearted will be bound fast with negatives rather than seeing the needs of the poor. The heart could not feel any more of their needs and suffering. They will be stubborn to God's instruction. They will see them as liabilities. They will also react negatively to them. Care is out of the question. They need God to change their hearts. The opposite is to be kind-hearted, to be kind to them. And we see the Lord Jesus had compassion to the lost sheep of Israel. He fed them with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Are we willing to feed them and to feed them with the bread of life? I thank God, yesterday, I received 12 salvation, 50 helpers, 250 of them came. We reach out to them with a kind heart. Next advice, do not be tight-fisted. Why tight-fisted? One of the way of looking at it, it means that Christian, we have forgotten that everything that we have belongs to God. Our wealth, house, car, belongings, spouse, children, and life. We think that we own it, we make it, we claim it, and therefore, we're not going to let go of it. It's all our making. But we have forgotten that God is the one who gives to us. Therefore, we refuse to let go. Well, verse 8 tells us that the writer urged us to be open-handed. Open-handed. This is to acknowledge that we are steward for what God has given to us. And that we will do according to God's will and to be a good steward and do according to what God instructed us to do. Therefore, we can freely give. Next, do not harbor wicked thoughts. Verse 9, be careful not to harbor these wicked thoughts. The seventh year, the year of canceling debts, is near, so that you do not show it so ill will towards the needy among your fellow Israelites, and give them nothing. They may then appeal to the Lord against you, and you will be found guilty of sin. Clearly, this verse states a warning. Be careful. Be careful not to harbor evil or wicked thoughts. For the lender who saw that the sabbatical year is coming nearer, therefore he feared that the borrower would take advantage of this privilege and not to pay back at all to years before the sabbatical years. So the thoughts were selfish and disobedient to God. With such thought, the writer said that it is sinful in God's sight when they complain against you. You will be found guilty. Well, next, do not have a grudging heart. Verse 10 to 11, give generously to them, and do so without a grudging heart. Then because of this, the Lord your God will bless you in your work and in everything you put your hand to. There will always be poor people in the land. Therefore, I command you to be open-handed towards your fellow Israelites who are poor and needy in your land. God is concerned. God is concerned about the motivation as well as the obedience to his command. God does not want his people to give with an unwilling heart. We can give, but not willing to give all the way. The call is to give generously. It comes with a promise, isn't it? That God will bless the lender. Maybe not materially, but in terms of character, in terms of work. We thank God, isn't it? Paul added in 2 Corinthians 9:7-8, each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things, in all times, you may abound in every good work. So in conclusion, let me end with a story again. And it's one of the episodes that I just watched last Friday or Thursday. Can't remember which day. But it's on the Little Red Dot episode that I entitled it differently. I entitled it as A Power of Caring. The story is about Wei Kong. Wei Kong, a JC athlete full of potential for future sports, met an accident. A taxi knocked him down on a rainy night in 2005. During his coma, the elder and church member of Barker Road Methodist Church went to pray for him and also the non-Christian parents. Surprisingly, immediately after the prayer, Wei Kong was moved out of ICU. And the doctor told his parents, even he would recover, he would be a living vegetable. Praise God. Subsequently, he opened his eyes, but he could not talk or move. And God is really good. His parents became believers. And, the church ladies, they organized a small group to visit him, to care for him, to minister to him, to help him to recover. Especially his mother, who gave up her job full-time to take care of him. His father also, you know, took him to the park regularly at night to help him to exercise, to encourage him to walk. He had to relearn how to talk, how to read, how to write, and how to walk. God's love is so powerful. That worked through the church members, worked through the parents, and worked through him. Wei Kong's condition improved rapidly. After 12 years of pains and suffering, now he graduated from LaSalle, became a professional artist, and married with two young children. Glory to God. But God used his people to pray, to care, and to save. So caring for the needy is very tough. We must acknowledge that. But we have this God. We have this God who loves us, who cares for us. And he also asks us to care for others. Will you? Let's pray. Almighty God, we again thank you that you love us. You chose us for a purpose, to magnify your glory. Lord, we know that we are weak, but you are strong. You can guide us, empower us to do your work. So help us, Lord, so that, Lord, one day when we meet you, you'll say, good and faithful servant. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.